This foolishness you hear by some preachers, oh, that when you become a Christian, it's almost like a joyride to heaven. It ain't so.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Sometimes in professional wrestling, one wonders whether or not it's all a setup. Winners are chosen before the match, and all the action is just for show. Well, the Christian life is designed to be something like that, but with some important differences. Listen with us now as Pastor Brian Grant offers three important lessons learned from the book of Judges about spiritual victory. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message, Chosen for Victory.
It was April the 1st, 2001, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson was facing Stone Cold Steve Austin in WrestleMania 17. Now, I'm not a wrestling fan, but I do happen to know about WrestleMania. And so here it was, Dwayne The Rock Johnson up against Stone Cold. What? They got some names. Stone Cold Steve Austin. And WrestleMania 17 is still regarded as one of the greatest pro wrestling matches in history. At the end of the fight, some of you know what happened. Who was the winner? At the end of the fight, The Rock was declared the winner. And that's actually one of the things that catapulted him into a movie career. And today, The Rock is one of the big stars in action movies. Last year, he earned over $120 million. That's just in 1 year. And it all started at WrestleMania 17. But although many people still don't believe this, when The Rock entered the ring for WrestleMania 17, he already knew he would win. I don't know if you know that. But in every professional, all these WrestleManias, the promoters have already chosen the winners. Oh, you didn't know that. The winner has already been picked. The loser has already been determined. The drama is all for fun and money. Listen, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was already chosen for victory when that fight began. And today I want to speak to you on the theme, Chosen for Victory. For whether we realize it or not, every Christian has been chosen for victory. But unlike pro wrestling, our fight is real. They're in a make-believe drama, but we are in a real fight. For our adversary never agreed to allow us to win. You see, Stone Cold Steve Austin had already agreed to the fact that he would be the loser. He knew what his paycheck was going to be, and that was good enough for him. But listen, although we are chosen for victory, our adversary has not agreed to let us win. And so the devil is determined to destroy us spiritually. And it is important as we get started this morning that we recognize that God has chosen us for victory, but the devil is determined to destroy us. But we need not fear. For when we receive Christ as Savior, God not only gave us eternal life, He chose us for victory. And listen, we are going to be victors because we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. Every believer has been chosen for victory. Turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Romans chapter 8. Let's get a verse there as we move along. Romans chapter 8. I want to read for you verses 35 through 39, a passage that's very well known. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. And here's how it reads. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. The enemy is doing drama every day. He's trying to destroy us. For your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, what does the word of God says? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And the apostle goes on, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, every Christian will face a real spiritual battle, but regardless of what we may encounter, verse 37 says, yet in all these things we are what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. My brother and sister, we are more than conquerors. So as we prepare our minds for victory, put this on the screen if you don't mind. I'd like you to repeat these words with me as we're about to put on the screen. Listen, here's what it says. I am chosen. Amen. I am chosen. Listen, I am chosen for victory. You want to say that with me? It's okay. You say, is he getting Pentecostal? No. I am chosen for victory, for I am more than a conqueror in Christ. Teenager, say that with me again. I am chosen for victory, for I am more than a conqueror in Christ. Never forget that, amen. We have been chosen for victory. Yes. Let me share with you this morning three important lessons about spiritual victory. I'm coming back here next week to finish. We'll be in Judges chapter 4. But I just want to share some thoughts this morning as we move around here, but primarily from Judges chapter 3. Here's the first thing I want you to put in your notes. Spiritual victory requires that we pass God's tests. Spiritual victory requires that we pass God's tests. Jump back to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3. We had Judges chapter 2 read as a sort of background to what I'm speaking this morning. But Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, now these are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had known any of the wars in Canaan. This was not only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it, namely, five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, who dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal, Hermon to the entrance of Hamath. And they were left. Here it says, God had left them. Chapter 2 tells us the same thing. Part of the reason God left these nations there is that he might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hands of Moses. Listen, what was the purpose? What was the purpose of these tests? Verse 4 is telling us, God is going to allow you and I to pass through drama that he might test whether we're going to obey the commandments of the Lord or not. Watch it. Every Christian is going to be tested. This foolishness you hear by some preachers, oh, that when you become a Christian, it's almost like a joyride to heaven. It ain't so. The Bible says you're going to be tested, and part of the reason for these tests, part of the reason is to determine what are you gonna do. Are you passing God's tests? Are you walking with him? God says part of it is to see whether you're going to obey the commandments and whether you're still going to walk with Jesus or whether you're going to abandon him because things aren't going your way. So as you continue with your notes, write this sub-point here for point number one. God's tests are designed to perfect us through our trials. God is up to something. When drama comes in your life, just remember, God is up to something. God is actually trying to perfect us throughout trials. Hold your Bible there in Judges, but jump over to a well-known passage in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Hebrews, James chapter 1. I'm just reading verses 2 to 4. And here's what the apostle says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith is doing something. It is producing something. But let patience, the Bible says, have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The next time you're tempted to sin, rest assured that's not one of God's tests. I just want to make that point. Because sometimes when we're sinning, we say, God is testing me. God ain't testing you. When you are about to sin, don't say, oh Lord, help me to pass this test. You say, how do I know that? Jump over to verse 13 of the same passage you're in James chapter 1. He says here, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God never tempts us. Amen? God will never tempt us, but he definitely will what? Test us. He definitely will test us. For we all need to develop the spiritual muscles champions need. Amen? We are chosen for victory. And God is going to test us because every Christian needs to develop the spiritual muscles that champions need. And one of the ways that God grows us and helps us develop muscle, spiritual muscle, is by testing us. And if you want to find out what God can produce, what God can produce through trials, ask a butterfly. For that beautiful butterfly that can fly was once an ugly caterpillar that was so slow, it took all day to crawl 2 feet. You ever seen these caterpillars? How many of you want to, most of us don't want to take them and prize them and just, if they would just stay that way. Listen, this butterfly was an ugly little thing. But getting out of the cocoon was no easy process. Some of us know that it required a lot of struggle. But without that struggle, it would never become a beautiful butterfly. Listen, it was the struggle that helped to transform this ugly insect into a beautiful butterfly. In fact, I understand why the butterfly was in its cocoon. You were so sorry for the butterfly that you had cut the cocoon and let the butterfly out. Nothing good would have happened. It would not have survived. It needed the struggle and struggle to break free so that it could become this beautiful creature that can soar. Listen, God is doing something through our trials. Amen. God is perfecting us through our trials. He is making us fit to be his champions. And so when the drama, when the trials come your way, you can hold your head up high and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyhow, thanks for helping me out. You can hold your head up high and say, hallelujah. Anyhow, amen. So let's thank God for the challenges we experience. For the path to spiritual victory requires trials. I don't want you to miss that point. This sounds so the reverse of what is being preached today. The path to spiritual victory requires trials. You see, God's tests are designed to perfect us through trials. But here's the second thing I want you to put in your notes. God's tests determine our commitment to walk with God. You saw that in Judges chapter 3, but the same thing is repeated here in Judges chapter 2, verse 20. It says here, verse 20 of Judges chapter 2, "Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, 'Because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not.'" God had chosen them for victory. And under Joshua, the victories just kept coming. Joshua walked with God and the victories kept coming. But after Joshua died, everything changed and Israel's dedication to God had become sloppy. The same nation who had seen all that God had done had suddenly said, "Forget about him. We have all these nations and look at what all they're doing." And somehow they got so attracted with what the nations were doing, they decided to discard God. Their commitment to God got sloppy. And so the same nation that had been seeing victory after victory, all of a sudden everything changed and they found themselves, every so often, they were in captivity. Now, for the like of me, I don't understand human nature. Some parts of it I can't understand. Some parts of my own nature and my own behavior I can't quite come to grips with, other than the fact that we are made, listen, we are sinners. No matter, even after we're saved, we still sin. And we still have struggle with a sinful nature, don't we? But you help me to understand. What a picture of us when you look at Israel. Here they are. They're in trouble. They beg God, God frees them. 5 years later, they abandon God. They're gone after the heathen nations again. They get in trouble again. And it's a cycle that just keeps repeating itself. And before we start criticizing them, young person, older person, let's be honest with ourselves, because some of us, despite God's goodness to us, and though his goodness is following after us, every now and then we are looking over the fence. May God help us to stay focused on the things of God. They started looking over the fence. They got themselves in trouble. You know, they tell us that since COVID, all the studies of the behavior of born-again Christians suggest that since COVID, a lot of us, our commitment has waned. Now, for some, we're still in church. But for many, they're not. But I mean, for some of us who are, our commitment in terms of our commitment to spend time in God's word, our commitment to helping to spread the gospel, some of that commitment is gone. But might God help us, my brother and sister. We are chosen for victory. And God is testing us every day to find out, are we committed to walk with the Lord? And it would to God that this morning we can answer sincerely from our hearts, "Oh Lord, I am committed to walking with you." Are you committed? Is that your commitment? "God, I want to walk with you every single day." Spiritual victory requires that we pass God's tests. But here's a second important point to put in your notes. Spiritual victory recognizes that God's power works best in our weakness. Spiritual victory recognizes God's power works best in our weakness. I'm in Judges chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek. He went and he defeated Israel. He took possession of the city of Palms. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. The Bible warns that whatever we sow, we will what? Is it in your Bible or just mine? Whatever we sow, the Bible doesn't say we will reap. It says what? We will surely reap. Amen? The Bible is just letting us know that there are no exceptions here. Whatever we sow, we will surely reap. And every time Israel rejected God, they ended up in trouble. And this time they were in servitude to King Eglon of Moab. But I'm so glad that God will never give up on his people. Amen? God will never give up on us. Perhaps you're listening this morning and you're saying, God gave up on me. You are a Christian and you messed up so many times and you figure that God has given up on you. But I want you to know God will never give up on his people. And so despite Israel's continual rebellion, we'll discover that in the book of Judges, God raised up 12 judges to deliver his people. Listen. The reason that the book of Judges is called Judges is because there are 12 judges, okay? 12 judges are in the, it's a story, 12 judges. Six of these judges were what they call major judges, and six were minor judges. And among those 12 judges, there's a guy called Ehud, who we're going to talk about in a minute. Ehud was one of the six major judges. And God used these judges to deliver his people from the consequences of their rebellion. They rebelled, they got in trouble, and God sent judges to help them deal with the consequences of their rebellion. Aren't you glad that God is so rich in mercy? Aren't you glad? I don't know about you, but I am thankful that he's rich in mercy, because despite the fact that I'm saved, listen, I've strayed from time to time and done things that God was not pleased with, but by the grace of God, his mercy has endured forever. Amen. And so I am so thankful that we have a God who is rich in mercy. And despite the fact if we are born again, listen, even though we may mess up, it does not mean he has not chosen us for victory.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. it would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.